And this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 44, that second paragraph. To one who feels he is, through one paragraph ending, are not always easy alternatives to face. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Linda S., 12 Traditions, Janie G. Readers of the text, Leslie M., Eileen M., and Michelle A.C. The reference number for Tuesday, June 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,532. That's 23532. And for this morning, Wednesday, June 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,535. That's 23535. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Devorah S., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Linda S. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Linda S. in Sweden. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Perfect. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in our affairs. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you so much, Linda S. And I'll now ask Janie G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Janie G., recovered in Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Jeannie G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book and we're on page 44, that second paragraph. To one who feels he is, through one paragraph ending, are not always easy alternatives to face, and we'll be commenting on this paragraph today. And I'll now ask Leslie M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Page 44, the second paragraph. To one who feels he's an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Yeah, this paragraph grabs me right where I lived. I've said this a million times, but I've been in OA this year 36 years. And for the first 28 years, I did it my way. So it was a really difficult, impossible task for me to believe that I was a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. I have conceded that to myself at this point. But for those first 28 years, I kept saying, yeah, I got it. You know, oh, I figured it out. Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I've been abstinent for fill in the blank. You know, I had periods of abstinence up to about a year, but I was never recovered, and I was never entirely abstinent, I've since found out. I didn't believe I was an atheist, but I didn't realize that I was an agnostic, which is, you know, without knowledge. I just thought I knew it all. I'd been around forever, so of course I knew what I was supposed to be doing. However, I was wrong. You know, and that's what I had to get to, because as I said, I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And before I was recovered, you know, I always thought there was a spiritual part of the program. And, you know, the whole program is spiritual. It's all spiritual. I was speaking with someone earlier today, and I had to, you know, it reminded me that, you know, I was totally focused on the weight and the whole. You know, that was the food and the weight were the problem. But meanwhile, it was not the problem. My thinking was the problem. So my first step has since become, you know, I'm not just powerless over the food. I'm also powerless over my thinking, you know. And that's really where the problem lay, you know, is a mental condition that in my mind. And that was what my higher power had to take care of. Because, you know, of myself, I wasn't changing my mind, you know. And when I first started, when I actually started working the program and surrendering, I just said to myself, if you think it, Leslie, you need to do the exact opposite. Because what you're doing, just as I said, it doesn't work, you know. But I have to say that looking at a spiritual alternative was not an easy decision for me to make, because I continued to think that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing, that I was in charge of it, and I'm not. And I'm grateful to know that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you for your service, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. Lovely way to get us started there. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Lisa N.
Regina V.
Lisa N. and Regina V.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Oh.
Who is that last voice? After Christina, who is that? Okay, I have Wendy B., Lisa N., Regina V., and Christina J. Anyone else? Well, that's a lovely lineup. Let's go ahead and hear from Wendy B., followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And as a compulsive overeater, I used food, with the progressive consequences of my poor choices. And I had no serenity. I had deteriorating health. I had increased isolation. I had endless obsession and shame about my appearance. My disease eventually brought me to a bottom, when I became willing to turn over the reins of my life to God. And, I had a choice to continue to fight the disease with self-will or surrender to God and seek his help and power to live a new life based on spiritual principles. And to me, living on a spiritual basis means trusting God, and not the things of this world, accepting life and reality as it is, and keeping my focus on my recovery and staying in my own lane, instead of focusing on what others are doing and the choices they're making. And, and I get to stay grounded and present in today instead of worrying about the uncertainties of the future. I get to trust that God's in control, of the future, and he's good, and he has a plan, and he'll guide me step by step as I rely on him. And, I have a sense of security that I never had before, when I relied on my own unreliable self-will, and I have peace and serenity and contentment now. And it's just lovely. This is a beautiful way to live life. And thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Lisa N., it's your turn to share, followed by Regina V.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. This is Lisa N., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. I'm so sorry. Such a good paragraph. Oh. I mean, there's so many of us, like nothing I'm going to say is going to be like unique, I mean, hopefully to the newcomer's ears, but to so many of us that I have the privilege of getting to this point. That's what's really coming to my mind. I had the privilege. I had the grace from God, whom I had fallen from so many times, from that grace. Anyway, to get to that point of, like it talks about the two alternatives back, a few pages. I mean, I love how the big picture, there's two alternatives. Which way am I going to go? Is God either everything or is he nothing? What is my choice to be? I don't know. I kind of think of it as, when I've tried everything and I have thrown up my hands and said, okay, I surrender to entire abstinence, you know, for me, things got so much easier. It's like, I love how one of our members says, like, the big book does the heavy lifting, you know, like when I give up, you know, that peace from my higher power just flowed in and the way became so much easier. Anyways, but I had to do a lot of digging, obviously, to get to that point. And I've got that paragraph all highlighted and little notes to the side. And I love how it said the hopeless variety. You know, I have to ask myself, am I of the hopeless variety? Am I the real compulsive overeater? If I am, then here is my solution. So I'm just so grateful today that I grabbed onto that solution. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Georgia. Well, we're talking about page 44 today, that second paragraph. To one who feels he is, through one paragraph ending, are not always easy alternative space. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So we're now going to hear from Regina V., followed by Christina J., and then after that I'll be taking some more names. So good morning, Regina. Please share with us.
Hi, good morning. My name is Regina V. from California, and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I was not ready. I started the food programs like 5 years ago, and I remember I had a sponsor who was trying to tell me that, you know, I really had to work step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of a God of my understanding. And all I ever talked about was I. And I've said that before in this visions meeting. It was all about me. And it just, you know, I could not understand, you know, the concept or any of it. And so I just kept, I guess, using the program as a diet with group support. And then when I joined OA and got onto the Visions meeting and also all the other really strong meetings like Scottsdale and Cornwall, all I kept on hearing was, the whole big book is so that you can get closer to a higher power, so that you can get closer to God. You're not going to stay abstinent if you don't, you know, have a higher power or trust in a higher power, or if you're not working the steps, right? And so now I'm so desperate. I had to go through what I went through, right? It's been years where I've been losing my abstinence and not getting it right. And, you know, finally the last, you know, time that I binged, and it wasn't that long ago, like 2 weeks ago, I was in the sugar all weekend long. It's like finally something inside of me said, you know, just do it exactly like the sponsor tells you to do it. You see, I'm even at the point where, like, I'm literally considering, am I going to lick my fingers or take a taste or a bite? Because I've been doing that since I started recovery. I've been licking and tasting and taking a bite since I started 5 years ago. And now I'm like, no more diet drinks, no more caffeine whatsoever, no more artificial sweeteners. So for me, it's like a process where you get deeper and deeper into it. And that's where I'm at now, 5 years later, where it's like, okay, no more licks, no more bites, you know, just true abstinence and, you know, a belief in a higher power. Because what really makes me get it is that I couldn't do it in, like, with my own self-will. My life was miserable when I was running the show. So I'm willing to try a different way. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina V. from California. Christina J., it's your turn to share.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington State.
To one who feels he's spiritual, connected to God, this slowly became a impossible situation for me because I couldn't seem to get that connection that this book teaches. I couldn't connect. I was in my head with my beautiful concept, and sometimes I'd feel it in my heart, but I just had this road going. I was on this road to recovery, to now what I realized was God, and I kept falling into the ditch, the relapse, because I kept going back to my old belief that was not in my brain, but in my bones, this old habit pattern of using the food. I just got so incredibly hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and I didn't have that connection. But I kept walking that road. I kept falling into the ditch. I kept walking it. And you know, the interesting thing is that every relapse didn't take me back to the beginning. It just took me closer to God because the program was always there for me. I never stopped trying. And I'd use the hands to pull me up and out of the ditch and I'd start again. And I kept going. And today I have an incredibly deepened relationship with higher power that is saving me from the first bite when I get hungry, angry, lonely, tired, resentful, disconnected, fearful. I have this book, what teaches me the tools and the steps. These weren't easy alternatives because I didn't know what I didn't know. I was doomed, continually doomed. And I was like almost like a deer in the headlights. You know, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know why I kept going back, but I knew I was desperately uncomfortable and I needed that thing at that moment. And then it took me to hell again. And I'd make another promise and climb up out of the ditch with your help in the program and keep moving. So if you are disconnected spiritually, but you feel like you're a spiritual person, if you are an atheist or agnostics, and you just, this seems impossible to face, spiritual basis? What are you talking about? I don't believe in God. You just keep walking this path, and you just find something. You know, I hear that thing about just you're not it. Whatever you need, you're not it. Because that's the ego, man. That's the ego. So connecting the head to the heart doesn't always mean you have to have a God per se. To me, it's become my very life force that beats out of my heart, the blood that flows. It's clear. I'm connected. It's my very breath. It's nature. It's you. It's everything. And, you know, it's not always roses. Yesterday I had to go to town. I had a headache all day. I'll finish up. I had a headache all day, and I couldn't use anything to get rid of it. I just had to sit with it, but I didn't pick up. There's miracles here, people. There's miracles. Stay with it. Love you all.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Well, I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 44, the second paragraph. To one who feels he is, through one paragraph ending, are not always easy alternatives to face. So we do value your experience, but we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Elaine S., Tennessee.
Elaine S., Tennessee.
Michelle A.T.
Michelle A.C.
Thank you.
Who is that last name?
Courtney J.
Okay, I have Courtney J. And I have Robin
H. from Boston.
H. Very good.
H. Yeah.
Perfect. Who else? I have Elaine S., Michelle A.C., Robin H., and Courtney J. Let's go ahead with that lineup. Elaine S., your 3 minutes starts now, followed by Michelle A.C.
Hi, this is Elaine S., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. So grateful to be on the meeting today. And first of all, for the newcomers or maybe someone who was like me, who was in relapse but kept coming but was hating myself for the way I ate, recovery is possible. I have experienced it through applying the steps as outlined in the big book. On Monday, I celebrated 3 years clean. And I also am now at a normal weight. Top weight was 220. Current weight is 132 that my doctor is very pleased with. So recovery is possible. So specific to the paragraph today, first of all, we agnostics, I almost didn't want to do this chapter because I had had a revolutionary spiritual awakening and had a relationship with a higher power and didn't think this applied to me at all. But as we read, I had to fearlessly face the truth, and they weren't always easy alternatives. And for me, the first alternative was that I had made food my God. Here I was professing to have a belief, but food was my God. And then specific to, you know, how I related to my higher power, it is an easy alternative to face the truth. But the only way that I was able to get out of relapse after years in this program was to face the truth as it really was. If my relationship with a higher power was working, then why did I keep eating when I didn't want to eat? I had to face the truth that what I was doing wasn't working. So I needed to follow the path laid out from other people. And that has made my life a completely different and so much better than it I ever thought it could be. But it took one step at a time, facing the truth, calling out the lies and saying what the truth really was. Thanks so much for letting me share. Elaine S., Tennessee. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Elaine S. from Tennessee. Michelle A.C., it's your turn to share, followed by Robin H.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And this paragraph struck me for two reasons. The first is that my sponsor always asks things as considerations, and I've been looking for all the considerations in the book, the questions to ask myself. And the question here for me is it an easy alternative to face? And I realized that I came into the program very spiritual and very much a God person, which I know is not the case for everybody. So I would have blown past this, like, oh no, I've got that. But I realized that there's two alternatives, not just one. And the other alternative is being doomed to an alcoholic death. And I think that for me was the really hard part to face, because my disease keeps saying, this is normal. This is fine. Oh, it's just a little thing. Oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, no, you're doing a great job, right? That's actually the voice of my disease in my head telling me to keep at it. And so to admit to myself the doomed part was the part that was really hard for me, and that really basic first step experience of having to admit, like, this is what the disease looks like in my body and in my soul and in my life, and that it is as serious and as deadly as, you know, the book is asking me to believe it is. And we've just gone through all these chapters where, you know, pages and pages of understanding how deadly that actually is and all the thinking behind it. And so the other thing is that recently I've been talking to a fellow who is an atheist. And I've realized that the book, you know, they offer for us this broad highway. And Bill Wilson goes out of his way, and the writers of the big book, right, go out of their way to make sure that we have all kinds of nouns to use instead of God, if that's not something that is part of our experience. And that the book keeps saying, you have to have a spiritual awakening. You need to have a spiritual experience. And they do it again to live on a spiritual basis. And that broad highway is open to anybody. And I think just like the disease manifests itself in my body in very, very different ways than someone else's body, right? I'm a unique entity, whatever that quote is from the book. I'm a very unique entity. So is my spiritual life and everyone's spiritual life. And so I've been really, I don't know, I think feeling more like I can get in the middle of the boat when I see that the disease has a broad range amongst all the fellows, and that I fit right in there, even though it looks different on me, and that spiritual life has a broad range, and that I still fit right in there, even though it's different from me. And I think that's helped me to not have like a spiritually like better than or holier than thou or spiritually comparison type attitude, but more spiritual curiosity and learning from all of you all, how do you live this? Because I think the options are endless, and that's part of the amazing part of this book. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle AC from Colorado. Robin H., it's your turn to share, followed by Courtney J., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, thanks, Dawn, for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being on the line and for all the shares. And, I'm calling in from Boston, Massachusetts, and I am so grateful to be here and honored to be able to share. I grew up in a home that and within a family that taught me that intellect was the only way that I was going to be healthy, be successful, be okay, get through life. And I also grew up as an anorexic and exercise bulimic and spent so many years in different kinds of treatment programs, outpatient programs. And also had, I guess, some kind of spark inside of me wondering what faith was, what a belief in higher power was. But that was shot down by my family. And it's so interesting to me because I'm like, you know, that was so many years of what felt like torture. But all other treatment modalities were pushed upon me with some success, minimal success, I should say. And almost 20 years ago, I started practicing a faith that doesn't talk about God or higher power. And then I came into these rooms, and all of a sudden, things just started to click for me that like it doesn't matter what other spiritual practices I have. I am a spiritual person. And when I can open up my heart and not do that, like I have a choice to believe. I could believe that I can do it on my own. I could believe that science, like a doctor, a medical doctor, is going to have the answer for me that's helped me turn off my crazy mind and my crazy thinking. Or I could believe that working steps, following what other people who have what I want, like following what they're telling me to do and then doing it, like I have a choice. And I don't know why, but I guess I'm pretty hard-headed, but it took me a while to just see and to believe and to identify in with all of these people who have so much recovery and so much happiness. And that's, I think, what I've been seeking all of my life. And, I think about it's my way or the highway, because that's sort of how I live my life, but it has a different meaning for me now. When I think of my way or the highway is the road that I can walk literally step by step by step and meet my higher power and meet, you know, my family.
Okay.
My family of recovery. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin H. from Boston. Courtney J., it's your turn to share.
Hey there, it's Courtney J. Good morning, good morning. I am, first I wanted to say how grateful I am for this meeting, which brought the big book to life for me as a raging sugar addict. This paragraph, to one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic. Well, as long as I can remember, I believed in God, and that was thanks to my mother. My mother was my spiritual rock, and I didn't know God, that's for darn sure, but I believed in God, and her God was very loving patient, forgiving. And I would share with her my issues with food, and she would, you know, she would always, you know, go back to saying to me things like, God will love you, you know, you don't need to earn his love, and this, that, and the other. But when you're in the program for 30-some years and you see what people are doing that you want to be doing, and you can't do it because you can't stop eating the sugar, there is a hole in your heart. And there was a hole in my heart. There was a hole in my soul. No matter how much I could try to believe that God loved me, I knew that I wasn't living my truth. So where am I going with this? I want to say I, as a sugar addict, you know, I couldn't stop once I started, but I couldn't stop from starting. I stayed in the rooms because I knew y'all had what I wanted, even though I didn't want to let go of the sugar. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that my disease was so or keeping me in the food. I did want a door number three, trust me, because I wanted to have guys had the recovered people that I saw in the rooms. Of addiction without their addictive foods.
Excuse me, Courtney. You're kind of fading in and out. Is there an adjustment you can make? We don't want to miss what you're saying.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Okay, I was on speaker. Is that?
Yeah, you're still.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's a little better. You have about 30 seconds left, sorry.
Okay, well, let's see what we'll say. I am almost able to say that I've been in recovery for a year now, and what has changed is my honesty. I was a liar. I lived a lie, didn't know it. I have a higher power that has blessed me with the food neutrality, and keep coming back. I say to the newcomer, keep coming back no matter what. There is no door number three. It's recovery, recovery, recovery. Keep walking forward toward it. Okay, thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Courtney J. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're talking about page 44, the second paragraph. To one who feels he is, through one paragraph ending, are not always easy alternatives to face. And if you haven't shared in the last couple days, please go ahead, give me your name, where you're calling from, and also your initial.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Linda
A.
Sweden.
Was that Lynn? Who is that?
Linda S. in Sweden.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Linda S. Sweden.
Nancy L.J., California.
Nancy L.J. I'll take one more name. Or not. We'll go with Eileen M., Linda S., Nancy L.J., and we'll see if we have more time. Eileen M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And I'm definitely the hopeless variety compulsive overeater. And I remember, you know, not believing, well, actually, I believed in a higher power, but I didn't think that God could do this for me. I thought that only certain people were given this gift. And I think maybe that belief came from all the years of struggling, because I've been in the program a very long time, I mean decades, and I didn't really understand the solution. I came from, you know, local OA meetings that had that diet with group support mentality, basically, and, you know, it was very tool-based and not step-based, and I wasn't really getting a message of depth and weight until I got to this meeting. I got to this meeting, Vision for You, through a friend in 2016, and I got a much different message. And I, you know, it was like for the first time I started thinking, wow, maybe this could happen for me. And my sponsor was just wonderful. You know, she kind of, I don't know, she just really helped me with that. You know, acting as if, she said, act as if this can happen for you. And, you know, I started to believe it. And, yeah, just, it's so amazing to just, you know, wake up every day and just have neutrality. I've had food neutrality for almost 10 years and, you know, entire abstinence. I just cannot believe it. It's a miracle. And, you know, the miracle can happen for anyone who's willing to just, you know, who's willing to take the action and then takes the action. You know, it's just so important that we keep taking action every day, you know, and it's not about feeling. It's not about feeling like it. It's about, you know, I do it whether I feel like it or not. And I'm so grateful that I found this vision meeting. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Linda S., it's your turn to share, followed by Nancy L. J.
Hi, everyone. This is Linda S. in Sweden. I want to begin with thanking everyone for being on the line. I so much appreciate this meeting and just being able to listen to all of these wonderful shares. Like, I can always relate to so much, and just hearing the message of hope is always so encouraging. And, so I'm definitely a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, and I have had so many times and years and months of experience of going back to the food, even though I've had several spiritual experiences. I've had neutrality with food. I have experienced God in my life. I think I always believed that there was some form of higher power or God, even though I didn't know what that was. And today, believing in God, I can still see that my actions are not in alignment with that faith. It's very easy for me to go by my feelings and not take the action necessary. I'm grateful that I'm still here in this program because I don't know of other choices. Like, I know that I need a spiritual solution for my problem with compulsive eating, with my life in general. I need a spiritual solution. And that the other, I don't want to call it a alternative, but that's what I'm facing death unless I live in a spiritual solution. And even still, I really struggle of letting go, and having the persistency and endurance when I face life, basically. So I haven't really faced life over any length of time, really, but I'm still here and I keep trying to take the right actions and not up. And God has been so gracious to me, so I cannot doubt that there is a God and that there is a spiritual solution that is there for me as well, because I've experienced it and I've heard it in so many other people, even though I may be struggling right now. So yeah, for me to continue as I have, is it truly means disaster. So at the moment I'm praying and to just, you know, come to that place of just surrender. I pray to God that please take me to the end of myself, because I see that I'm the one standing in the way. And I don't know when that moment is going to happen or what it's going to take, but I know it's here. So I just want to thank you all for being here and for sharing the solution. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Very good. Thank you, Linda S. from Sweden. Nancy LJ, it's your turn to share.
Good morning, Nancy LJ, California. Just want to claim my seat. Not too much anything new to add. Love the shares. Just for me, for years I wanted to be the, you know, I'm definitely the hopeless variety also. You know, definitely, particularly with sugar. I remember listening to speakers and thinking, I want that. I want to be that spiritual person. And I just, you know, I would wait for after the meeting and talk to them. And what's your morning routine? What do you do? You know, and I just never felt enough. I always thought, you know, I'm just not that spiritual person. I imagined like a guru, you know, in the lotus position all day long. And I'm so grateful that I finally accept my spiritual experience, my spiritual walk. It's very simple, you know, and anybody out there that's maybe feeling like I have, you know, that you're just not enough, that why don't you look a certain way, or, you know, I just get up. I say my two or three prayers. I read the paragraph of the big book we're going to study. I get on a meeting. I make my phone calls and do my little 5-minute meditation. And then the rest of the day, I'm open for outreach calls and to work with my sponsees if scheduled. And that's basically it, my review at night. And it's very, you know, it's just a routine. I'm not a guru. I'm not in the lotus position. I'm out doing life. And, you know, I accept it. And do I have 100% neutrality? 100%. No, I do not. I would say I do sugar. It's 100%, which is amazing. I probably like 75-80% most days. And you know what? It is what it is. I can't force anything. I just keep doing the deal, keep working the steps, just doing the best Nancy LJ in California can. And if it doesn't look like yours, that's okay, because I'm an individual. I'm, you know, we're all different. So I'm so grateful that the difference in my program today is I'm doing the deal in Nancy LJ's way and not comparing myself to others. I mean, I listen, I'm open, I'm quick to see where other people are right. Thank you. But yeah, I accept me today. I'm grateful. And I pass.
Thank you, Nancy LJ from California. Well, we have time for a 1-minute share. Is there someone who would like to take that?
Luann C., Boise.
Luann C., go for it.
Hey, thank you, Dawn. Thanks for your service. Great, amazing shares today. Thank you. And yesterday as well. You know, I'm Luann C. I'm recovered today in Boise, Idaho. And, you know, if you're an agnostic, we are really blessed in this program to have a well-known member who doesn't believe in God. He only believes in truth, beauty, and justice, and has lost all his weight and has decades of recovery. So there's a lot of real life hope here for agnostics. You know, this basically is a journey to find out honestly what you do believe in. So I hope you keep coming back for the path that actually goes somewhere and that finally works. And, you know, welcome, and welcome to the newcomers. And, you know, there is hope here. There is a solution to this terrible problem. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Beautiful way to end the meeting. Thank you so much, Luann AC. But if you're new, please stick around. We've got a chance for newcomers to announce their names and numbers in just a few moments. So please stay till the very end here. But we're now going to close this portion of the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi there. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.